All right. Well, let me jump over here to the opening monologue. As always, we call it the Right Side Way, the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll start off by just saying this. All right. For those of my liberal progressive followers, the ones who like to take issue with virtually anything that I say on social media, just go ahead and prepare to be triggered. I'm going there. There. The source of all consternation and the symbol of what too many of the liberal progressive wing of society have the concern of being the root cause of the great divide in public discourse. What are you talking about, Phil? I'm talking about the Bible. I'm actually going to reference the Bible today, so hang on. Look, the first thing I want to point out is that I do believe the Bible. But I'm not asking that you suspend any of your own disbelief in the concepts of a loving and omnipresent God or of Jesus being our Savior. You're welcome to choose not to believe if you want to, but I do believe. I do believe those to be true, but today I'm looking at the Bible as what many have forgotten to acknowledge it as. The Bible is not just a source of our faith and the Word of God. The Bible is also a great historical record. It's a source of cultural commentary, if you will. Because you see, the Bible is both those things. It has transcended time with no changes, a literal recounting of times and places and cultures and forgotten peoples and cultural divides and wars and famines and natural disasters. Biblical scholar Josh McDowell, in his book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, great read, by the way, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he recounted the facts of biblical archaeology and the biblical historical record. It's part of the proof of God's existence that caused him, Josh McDowell, to actually convert to Christianity after first being an atheist. Literally, he was challenged by some friends. All right, if you're such a smart atheist, go prove the Bible wrong. And he couldn't. He actually came to the logical conclusion that in the absence of proof, that it was wrong that he would accept that it could therefore, if it was, basically he had to accept that it had to be right. A choice of the heart made with his head. Well, in that vein, an interesting study emerged not too long ago. One recounting of it can be found on the website called Religion News Services from back in April of 2022. Archaeologist Stephen Collins is the lead archaeologist in an ongoing dig near the Dead Sea at a site known as Tal al-Hammam. Tal al-Hammam, in the course of the dig, Collins' team from Trinity Southwest University, they found overwhelming evidence of an apocalyptic event. They could find evidence in their archaeological dig of melted rooftops and disintegrated pottery and unusual patterns on rock formations that are generally associated with intense heat. Evidence that for several centuries after whatever the event was, that the 100 acres of the site or so lay fallow and had no growth whatsoever. Well, in the journal Nature, he finally conceded that the incineration on that location, the timing and the evidence of the incineration, all appeared to match the biblical recounting of Sodom and Gomorrah. The recounting that I read said by daring to postulate this finding that Collins brought down all the academic versions of hellfire on himself. But yet experts from 19 different research institutions are said to have agreed with Collins that the findings seem to indicate that a massive airburst or a comet did destroy the community at Tal al-Hammam in an area and the approximate timing of the biblical Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, let's assume for a minute that the findings of Collins' team are in fact Sodom and Gomorrah. Does it lend credibility to the biblical story? I would say yes. Although some will be quick to point out the timing is just not perfect, or that the biblical recounting of Lot and his family fleeing with the advice of angels, well, that's just too fanciful. Okay, if you don't like that part, how about the rest of the story? A city that had become so depraved that strangers passing through it were no longer safe. That overly sexualized and often violent individuals felt so bold in the storyline we read about Sodom and Gomorrah that they could bang on the door of a neighbor's house and demand that he send out their male guests that had arrived so that men of the town could rape them. I mean, that's the recounting of the story. In a world, by the way, that now, modern day, sees drag queens exposing themselves to children like we saw most recently in Chattanooga, does the biblical account of the behavior of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah seem that far-fetched anymore? And the simple answer is no. So why then are we shocked to find out that what is described as having occurred 1,500 or 1,700 years ago in BC may in fact be repeating itself? Look, I used to read scripture and I'd hear of biblical accounts of child sacrifice and think, wow, what does it take to get a society to the point that sacrificing their children is considered normal? And then, not so long ago, in the midst of all the liberal rage against the Supreme Court for daring to limit the Biden FBI, for daring to limit Roe v. Wade, the Biden FBI had a Catholic pro-life activist arrested at his home in the presence of his wife and seven children for allegedly just doing nothing more than shoving an abortion activist out of the way, who, by the way, the abortion activist had been shouting obscenities in the face of the man's young son. Look, it was an incident that occurred even 2 years prior to the arrest, an incident which the abortion activist allegedly, you know, had already tried to sue the man for to have the case dismissed. Or how about this? How about we consider Stacey Abrams? Ah, the erstwhile genius of the liberal left, who not so long ago announced in a public forum that the notion of a heartbeat in the womb at 6 weeks is just a fallacy. A fallacy. It's a myth truth calculated by men to keep women subjugated. Whatever. The truth is that what we're seeing right now is the ease with which segments of society have come to the notion that sacrificing a child is okay, as long as it suits the needs of the one doing the sacrificing. So we're really not that far from the biblical stories again, are we? But it's really hard to compare anything that I've talked about so far to the transgender movement, the way it affects kids. Transgenderism, the notion that someone can be born of one gender and then change to another, or identify to another. Look, it's a mental disorder. It is not a physical disorder. It is a mental machination that defies science and reality. And yet, somehow, the left has embraced this notion of gender fluidity, and an entire cottage medical industry has sprung up on the treatments, the medications, the counseling, the surgeries, the lobbying efforts, all to demand and cajole that this disorder have to be accepted, even when it comes to minor children. Look, there is no other mental disorder in the world in which the healthy are required to join the unhealthy in their unhealthy behaviors. I mean, think about it. If somebody was depressed or bipolar or suicidal, we would work and pray to lead them out of it, right? But no, the transgender agenda demands that we join them in their fallacious thinking, or else we are the problem. And like I said, that's even when it involves minor children. Senator Ted Cruz right now is running a competitive race to keep his seat in the U.S. Senate. He's out there in Texas running that race against his opponent, Democrat Colin Allred. And Colin Allred, by the way, is slated very recently to give a keynote address at the upcoming conference for the Human Rights Campaign. If you're not familiar with HRC or the Human Rights Campaign, that's the LGBTQ activist organization that also recently promoted the idea of punishing parents who refuse to transition their children when they merely suffer from gender dysphoria. I'm telling you, Sodom and Gomorrah have nothing on this stuff. But the Old Testament is not out of line with the New Testament. Biblical archaeology and biblical cultural recounting, it continues well throughout the New Testament as well. And Jesus dealt with it firsthand when he rebuked his own disciples for trying to keep children from asking for his attention. In a moment of candid concern for the well-being of children, Jesus told his listeners in Matthew 18 that when it comes to children, here's his quote, and I'm reading from the Message translation, he said, "If you give them a hard time, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of a lake with a millstone tied around your neck. Doomed to the world, he said, for giving these God-believing children a hard time. Hard times are inevitable, he said, but you don't have to make it worse, and it's a doomsday to you if you do." Now, that's the paraphrase from the Message, but it gets the message across. So, yeah, I choose to take the Bible literally. I do. I personally believe that it is the unerring Word of God. But even if you don't believe that, at the very least, you have to give it some due for its ability to recite the records of historical culture and geography and world events. And I'll be honest, it seems to be perpetuating itself. As Solomon once said, there is nothing new under the sun. And evil, by the way, evil still wants our kids. Evil still walks among us. Evil still bangs on the door and demands access to our precious kids. And I believe that God's position on that is pretty clear. Drag queens, pedophiles, and parents who sacrifice their children to the little g gods of culture and enlightenment, they deserve nothing more than to have a millstone necklace and be cast into a lake. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yeah, think about that. The Bible, I do believe it's the unerring Word of God, but even if you choose not to believe in a faith-based way like I do, you can't get away from the fact that that book is a book that is replete with history and geography and cultural recountings that goes back thousands of years. It's a record of what has been. And as a record, some of what we're seeing in society today was already being perpetuated thousands of years ago. And it was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.